What's up, Dream Warriors? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Elm Street. We are your hosts, Mark.
And Brooke.
And this is, we think, our first episode of the new year on this podcast. It's weird because it's January 14th, but I think we banged one out really quick at the end of the last year just to get it out before the end of the year. But
Yeah, we did, yeah.
anyways, yeah, so we wrapped up our podcast on Elm Street Travels the World theme from last year. And I was our first pick of 2026. And I chose Nosferatu from 2024. Given the fact that this movie was filmed in America, it doesn't take place, well, I guess half and half in America and Romania, Transylvania, but couldn't really do it last year. So I've been kind of chomping at the bit to talk about this movie because,
Fair
spoiler
enough.
alert, I fucking loved it. But, anyways, yeah, had a lot of fun. Oh, fucking broken record. Had a lot of fun doing that theme last year, but happy to get back into the regular swing of things 2026.
Nice.
Before we talk about this movie too much, though, we will kick off our news and booze. The fuck is that? Sorry. There's a hair elastic on the arm of my chair.
Nice.
Fucking trip me out for a second. What are you drinking?
Just drinking a Crown and ginger ale.
Nice. Just regular Crown. I
How about you?
felt like being a bougie bitch tonight, so I'm drinking some wine.
That wine or blood?
Oh, good. Oh, I should have fucking got a bottle of red wine.
Oh,
Stupid.
God damn
Fucking
it.
missed opportunity.
God damn it.
Idiot. It's just wine. Kind of looks like piss, actually. Some dehydrated pee. Shit. What's your last four watched? Have you been watching a lot since the new
Couple
year?
things. I did watch Nosferatu twice.
Oh shit, nice. Oh
Yep.
man, you scared me for a sec.
Why?
Cause I saw the hearts and I thought that was your star, and I was like, fucking one star, man? What the fuck?
I watched Together. It's on Prime. Really liked it, really enjoyed it. Was not as gruesome as, I don't like that cover, but I mean it's cool, but
Yeah.
yeah, really enjoyed the movie a lot. Not a lot of like graphic stuff, like not a lot of body horror. There's a lot of body horror, but for me, like most I got of it was like kind of like the story of it and kind of like the bigger picture of
Yeah.
like relationships and needing to like one person needing to have like feel like they're wanted or they need something, right? So
Yeah, it did have a lot of good undertones to it.
really liked it. And then I watched The Life of Chuck. Sorry, I did not like it as much as you,
Hey, man, 4 stars is good.
but really liked it. Had no idea what I was getting into. So yeah, that's pretty much
Nice.
it.
Okay.
How
Fair
about you?
enough. I watched the Bob's Burgers movie.
Nice.
Bob's Burgers is like now, like lately, it's been my fall asleep show, and I got all caught up on the new,
Oh, nice.
and so I was like, I want more, so I watched the movie one night.
Nice.
Going through Guillermo del Toro's directed movie list, so I watched Mimic. I remember watching that like a long ass time ago, and for me personally, it doesn't really hold up. Like, it's some pretty terrible CGI. I don't know. It was okay though. I watched Dangerous Animals.
Oh shit, nice.
It was decent.
Yeah.
Not great, but I don't know.
How was our boy Jai Courtney? He
Is
played
it
the
him
main
that's in
guy.
it? Oh, that is him that's in it. Holy fuck. Yeah. He was
Yeah,
good. I forgot that
did
was
you
him.
even watch it?
I did. I did. He looks a lot different in this. And then just fucking randomly, I watched movie 43 one night.
Yeah, the movie's so fucking bad.
I saw you gave it half a star. I saw it, I was browsing through Prime and it said that it was one of those, like, you know what? I'm gonna fucking like it's bad, but it's fun. Just one of those mindless movies that you melt away to.
The only reason I rewatched it for Letterboxd is just to like knock off all the actors that are in
Yeah, there's a lot in that, man.
it.
But it's hard to believe how many A-listers they got for that movie.
I know, right?
But yeah, that's it for me. For our news, you heard me say, oh shit, that's cool, whenever I went to Bloody Disgusting. Inspired by Polly Pocket and Mighty Max, the new Micromaniacs toy line from Trick or Treat Studios will launch this year with a Michael Myers playset based on John Carpenter's Halloween. Do you ever have
That's
Mighty
nice.
Max whenever you were growing up?
No.
No, you had Polly Pockets, eh?
Yes.
But like it, the case of it is a pumpkin, and then it opens up, and you have the Myers house, and Loomis is out front, and looks like
That's sick.
Laurie. Yeah, it's kind
Yeah.
of cool. It's pretty neat. Evan Peters made a comment because they're doing American Horror Story season 13, and Ryan
Wait,
Murphy.
there's 13 seasons?
Yeah,
Since
yeah.
when?
They didn't stop for a
I
while.
felt like the last season was like season like 6 or 7.
Yeah, no, they kept going.
What the fuck?
And then they did American Horror Stories as well, which was like a short
Yeah,
anthology.
I remember seeing that, yeah.
Yeah. But they're bringing back characters from all the different seasons, or cast members, sorry, from all the different seasons. So I might actually check it out. We got a new poster for Scream 7. We have
Nice.
Neve Campbell, Courtney Cox, Hayden Panettiere, Joel McHale's back. Yeah. There's something else too. Where did it go? Oh, most importantly, Indy the dog from Good Boy won the best horror movie performance at the Astra Film Awards,
Okay, cool.
which I thought was
Cool.
pretty fucking neat. So that's the dog of the director of the movie, which
Yes.
is cool.
Yes.
But yeah, I thought that was neat because I don't know, dog did a great job. Know if I've ever seen a dog win a award.
Yeah. Speaking of awards, Golden Globes are fuck, they're stupid, man.
Yeah, most award shows are.
So I watched the Golden Globes this year,
You did watch it, okay.
and they introduced a new award this year,
Okay.
the Podcast Award.
Oh. Did we get a nomination?
We did not, but yeah. But anyway, so they aired that, and they decided to present another award during commercial break, and it
Okay.
was best score.
What?
Yeah.
They presented the best score during a commercial break?
Yeah, they decided to cut it out of the broadcast.
That makes zero
And
sense.
they aired giving away the best podcast award.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's weird.
So, yeah, Sinners won best score,
Yeah, I could see
but
that.
they didn't even air it, which is stupidest fucking thing.
That's so shitty, man, 'cause like that's a prestigious fucking award. Like
Right? Yeah.
best score is huge.
Yeah.
Who won the best podcast?
Amy Poehler.
Fuck, go figure.
Yeah, but I don't know like what made it the best podcast, you know.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's yeah, that's stupid. All right. 4Ks?
4Ks. So 4Ks, we got Wicked for Good.
Have you
I don't
watched
know.
either one of those?
I have not.
No.
I don't know. If it was shorter, like the first one's like 3 hours long or something like
Yeah,
that.
it's
I
really
don't
long.
know. Yeah. Smashing Machine. Spring Scene, Deliver Me From Nowhere. Shine. Cabin Fever,
Oh, that's
Steelbook,
cool.
unrated. Diva. Rolling Stones, Let's Spend the Night Together. Cane of the Gypsies. Time Crimes. We got the Stendhal Syndrome. Dario Argento. Troll 2.
Nice. Oh, HD movie source, sick.
Behind the Green Door. No Candle for the Devil. The Dam Busters. These are the Garbage Pail Kids movie.
Sick, I love
Didn't
it.
know that was a thing. House on the Edge of the Park.
Jesus.
Tron Ares. Torso,
Fuck.
which
Didn't we just order that?
we did, yeah.
Did I get it
Oh,
too?
maybe not 4K. Is it 4K?
Did I get it too?
I can't see it. I don't think you did.
I got Deep Red. What was the other one that I got? I can't remember.
I can't see my copy, but anyway, Cruisin', Black Hat, The Mechanic, Jesus Christ, all the movies,
There's a lot.
Evil Under the Sun, The Mirror Cracked, Death in the Nile. Okay, we're going 1408. Oh, it's a sick
That is
fucking
cool.
cover. Thunderheart, and One Battle After Another, and there's even more.
Did you do the whole month
Okay,
again?
hold on one sec.
I think you might have. There's no way these all came out in
God damn
January. You did too.
it. Oh, man.
It's fucking great.
Okay, well, we did talk about a Tron Ares last week, so.
Yeah. Oh,
Evil
Evil Dead
Dead
Rise.
Rise, Brand of the Dead, Babe, Pig in the City, The Pink Panther Strikes Again, Revenge of the Pink Panther, A Shot in the Dark, Dante's Peak. Yee yee on
Much
okay.
shorter list.
Yeah, my apologies. I gotta get better at that. I'm
That's
sorry.
funny. All right. I like that Cabin Fever cover too.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Anything else?
No.
Okay. All right. Let's dive into this movie. Like we said in the intro this week, we are talking about Night. Jesus. Nosferatu from 2024. Starting off with the synopsis, a gothic tale of obsession between a haunted young woman and the terrifying vampire infatuated with her, causing untold horror in its wake. This was directed by Robert Eggers. We've almost done all of his movies now.
I'm so
Between,
excited for Werewolf.
oh, me too. He's done The Witch, The Lighthouse, The Northmen. Like you said, he's got Werewolf coming up and a Untitled Labyrinth sequel.
It's funny, I was gonna pick The Witch for the next movie
Were you?
just to get Robert Eggers
Yeah.
just all done, but I figured
I
nah.
still can't believe we haven't done that. We need to do another theme of why haven't we done this yet?
Yeah, that's fair.
Because, yeah. If there's a Goblin King in the Labyrinth sequel, who do you think he's going to have play him? You've watched Labyrinth, right?
I have not.
Okay, well, fuck, never mind. Maybe question
Why
to our listeners then.
is Robert Eggers directing it?
Yeah, he's
Oh
got an
shit.
untitled sequel.
Oh shit.
And Bowie played him in the original, so.
I mean, obviously, Bill Skarsgård. Is that just a stupid answer?
You know, he could probably do it, actually. He could probably do it really well. Yeah, maybe. I love Skarsgård so much, man. And I really like every movie he's done, I've been a fan of. And it's not like he's been cast like a lot, like where it's like too much. But I really hope he doesn't get to that point where you just kind of get sick of seeing him. But I think it helps too, because in It, like, you can't even tell that it's him. In this movie, you can't even tell that it's him. But then in like
Yeah.
In Barbarian, he wasn't in it that long, so I don't know.
Yeah, what I want to revisit, I haven't watched in a long time, but Hemlock Grove.
Yeah, it's on Shudder now.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think I watched, I forget how many I
Think I
watched,
only
but
watched the first one, but
yeah. Anyway.
yeah. All right, for the cast, I did five because it's hard not to. We have Lily Rose Depp playing Ellen Hutter, Nicholas Holt playing Thomas Hutter, obviously Bill Skarsgård playing Count Orlok, Aaron Taylor Johnson playing Friedrich Harding, and Willem Dafoe playing Professor Albin Eberhard von Franz.
Yep.
I have two honorable mentions, but I'll you kick off yours.
So obviously the legend Ralph Ineson.
Yes, sir.
That he's just great. I don't know if I'll be able to. Oh, I only know this because of the commentary I watched. But Jordan Hodge, he played the vampire hunter. He is actually a music artist,
Okay.
so he's a singer slash rapper in the Czech Republic, I think.
Oh.
Yeah, that's where a lot of this movie was filmed.
Yeah.
So,
Huh. That's cool.
yeah.
So yeah, I had Ralph Ineson as well, and I also had Simon McBurney, who played Nock. He has a pretty good resume.
Yeah, he was so good in this movie.
Yeah, he was wicked. It took me like on my first watch, it took me so long to figure out that he was Nock, like after the fact.
Yeah.
'Cause he just like the character transformation is just fucking wild, man, with him.
Yeah.
But anyways, are you talking about this movie?
Yes, sir. All right. So, Nosferatu from 2024. So it opens up. We see Ellen. She is talking to Orlok. This is many years before she met Thomas and got married. She is kind of lost in herself, is lonely, not much going on. So she prays to somebody in her window and she asks for anybody to come. And Orlok talks back to her. She woke him from his slumber and says, "You are not for humankind." She's like under his spell, and we see her like walking out from the house, and she's like in this kind of garden area, and then like out of nowhere, he just fucking chokes her.
Yeah.
Fucking scary as shit.
Man, fucking jump scare in the first 5 minutes. It's crazy.
And then it just cuts to years later. We don't know how long, but probably quite a few years. So we meet Thomas. He is married to Ellen. We find out that he gets a position working for Knock, who is a, I don't know exactly how to
Like a real
describe
estate
it.
magnate.
Yeah. So we learned that Orlok has wants to acquire a house in was it Wisgar? No.
Wisburg,
Wisburg.
Germany.
Yeah. And so Thomas is like, okay, like I'll meet him at 9 o'clock in the morning or something. And Knock is like, no, like he can't really travel well, so you have to go to his house. And he's like, okay. And he's like, yeah, so he lives in another country, basically. It's going to take 6 days.
Yeah.
And something I didn't notice, but Eggers pointed out during commentary was, did you notice all of the symbols and stuff that Knock was trying to hide when he was showing Thomas the map?
I didn't notice him trying to hide them, but like you can tell he's being somewhat sketchy.
Yeah.
I didn't notice
So,
the symbols though, no.
like, at what point Because even like after watching it twice, like, or two more times, so I've seen this three times.
Yeah.
At one point, do you think that Knock was either under Orlok's spell or had communicated with him through the witchcraft he was doing? Do you think it was even before this scene, like he
Oh,
was
yeah.
already putting the pieces together? Like, do you think he, Orlok is telling him to send Thomas there?
I
Yeah.
think because Orlok needs to get to Wisburg, right? Where Ellen is.
And he doesn't know that Thomas is with Alan at this point, right?
I don't know. Yeah, not until Thomas gets there, because that's when he sees the
The hair.
and the pendant. Yeah. But I think Nock has already had that connection with him.
Even in this scene, like he is like in the background, you hear him like just like maniacally.
Maniacally.
What kind of word was that? He's like just laughing like hysterically in the
Yeah.
background.
That's wonderful.
But I think Canuck, like, I mean, all the acting in this movie is fucking phenomenal, and I hate that this movie got snubbed at the Oscars like
Yeah.
hard. Like, I think it won best costume design and maybe editing or something like that. Like,
This could have won.
no one got any nominations, and I think it's because it came out in like December,
Yeah, that's true.
right?
But like, Skarsgård could have won. Lily Rose Depp could have won. Costume design for sure. Cinematography could have won that. Score, you could have won that. Like, yeah. Just the editing, yeah, like you said. But just, it could have probably came home with like four or five awards.
Yeah, so it's gonna be a 6-week journey. Friedrich Harding is going to be taking care of Ellen while they are away. The Hardings is Frederick and Anna. They have two little girls. You find out that Anna is pregnant with two kids. And I'm curious how like Thomas and Friedrich became friends,
Yeah.
because they are very different households, right? Like Thomas and Ellen, kind of, they are poor, kind of, but they try and make their apartment looking a bit more nicer than like what they are. And
Yeah.
then you go to the Hardings, and they have like maids everywhere. They have coach guys or whatever, right?
Yeah, like Thomas and Ellen need him to take this job basically, because he's getting a raise, he's getting a big bonus and everything. Like, this is going to be kind of a life-changing event for them. Literally. But yeah, I don't know if they're like childhood friends or what the story is, but
One funny thing during this scene when they're at the Hardings, and Friedrich and Thomas are smoking cigars. So I guess they had to re-shoot these scenes like multiple times, and by the like last few shots, they have smoked so much cigars that they were like high,
oh God.
and they couldn't stop laughing.
That's
But even in this scene, you see Thomas doesn't want to drink or smoke a cigar, and he's like kind of like faking it a bit,
Yeah.
right? But the girls leave. They're going to the room, and you can say, hear them say that there's a monster in the room. So I don't know if maybe Orlok is haunting them as well. Like, we know he's not physically there, but maybe somehow he is, or maybe they're just little girls and are just scared. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's kind of a precursor to what happens later on too, which is kind of cool. Not cool what happens, but
No. We see Ellen cuts a piece of her hair off and puts it into the locket to give to Thomas. Do you think she was doing that out of her like the goodness of her heart to kind of like have a piece of her with him? Or do you think that it was a part of like her wants and kind of for Orlok to get a piece of that.
Well, she doesn't know that she's going to see her, or he's going to see him,
Oh,
does
that's
she?
true. Yeah, no, you're right.
So I think, yeah, she was just doing that, like you said, for him to have a piece of her with him.
Then we get the scene of Canuck in his whatever workplace room. He's butt ass naked, has candles all around. You see like some stuff in the background, but it's kind of hard to see some of the stuff. But he is like has a book and he's fucking writing on his arm. And yeah, he's fucking crazy, man.
Yeah, he's lost it at this point. Are they calling him? I don't mean to call your ass out, but are they calling him Canuck in the commentary?
Yes.
It's Canuck. It is Canuck.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I just assumed it was Knock.
That's what I thought too.
Okay.
But he kept saying Canuck.
Okay.
So I mean, do what you do, but it's funny, like both of us have started kind of watching movies with commentary, and a few of them that I've watched, and maybe you as well, but the directors, they'll like kind of pick apart their own movie, like as they're watching it.
Yeah.
There's a
Eggers
couple,
does that a lot.
yeah, like in this, there's a couple scenes where he's like, I think there's like too much fog, like in the scene. I think we like did too much, and like, yeah, it's just interesting that they're like picking apart their own movie.
He, because I did the commentary for The Northman. I watched that one twice
Right.
before
Yeah.
we recorded, and he picked that movie apart like crazy, man.
Yeah.
And, I've seen clips. I haven't watched the full commentary of The Lighthouse, but he's picked that one apart too.
That one would be good actually to
Yeah,
watch.
he's very critical of his own work.
Yeah. I mean, that's good, right?
But I think that it really shows how much he cares about what he does, 'cause like this guy, he does historical pieces, right? Like with The Northman, The Witch, even The Lighthouse, and this one. And he researches the fuck out of these movies and like the countries that they take place in, and like the roles and stuff that these people are portraying. And it I think it really bodes well to show like how much he cares about the movies that he makes, that he's still able to pick them apart after all the stuff that he's put into it.
Yeah, like in this movie too, like they filmed a lot of it in Czech Republic. A lot of it was on sound stages that they built in Czech Republic, but some of them they were in Czech Republic, I think like Germany, maybe a couple other European places. But he hired a lot of actors from this area, like I mentioned the vampire hunter, the prison guy who helps out, who's with Innocent's character,
Severs?
Sievers. He was a busker from Czech Republic.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy
And
shit.
like the old lady in the hotel at the gypsies, she is like the grandma. She's like some famous TikToker that he
Really?
just found and hired her to do this part.
Wow.
But like, yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah, so yeah, Thomas is now on his way. He makes his way to the first village. It's kind of like a gypsy village. They're all like dancing around, stuff like that. As soon as he gets there, like the vampire hunter just starts laughing at him, and then everyone starts laughing, and the innkeeper just comes barreling out. He's like, "What are you doing here?" And he's like, "We're trying to get to what the castle's called."
Castle Orlok.
Is it? Okay, yeah. And he's like, "Oh, we'll never speak of that again." And then Thomas says, "I'll pay you double if I can stay here." I think it's the next scene whenever it cuts to Ellen talking to Anna at the beach place, and she has something along the lines of like praying that he doesn't go there. Oh no, never mind. Sorry, that's the grandma who's saying this. She says that she's praying he doesn't go there. She says, "His shadow covers you and makes you dream even when you're awake." So, like, a lot of these people know kind of who he is.
Yeah. And I really like that line too, because we see that imagery a lot throughout the movie, right? Like him, his shadow just kind of going over Ellen. And then there's at one point, and it's fucking, I think it's my favorite scene in the movie. We have like a top-down view of the city, and you just see Orlok's hand
Oh, it's
shadow
fucking
go over
amazing.
top of the city.
Yeah.
Oh man, it's so fucking cool.
It is, yeah.
But yeah, it's his whole influence is like portrayed by the shadow that kind of just towers over people, or like his hand will go over their face and stuff like that.
So he we are now we see the villagers are at a vampire's grave. Eggers explained the folklore of this. So apparently, like, the virgin on the horse, she rides the horse all through the graveyard, and if the horse stops and won't go over a grave, that means there's a vampire in it. So the vampire opens it up and stabs and kills a vampire, and then Thomas wakes up and you're like, oh, it was a dream, and then you see his like shoes are like muddy as fuck. We see a quick scene of Thomas walking because he doesn't have his horse anymore, crosses a bridge, and he comes to like this kind of crossroads, and a carriage comes up and there's no one driving it. So that was like a decision by Eggers as well. Like, he was gonna have someone in it, but then just like having no one in it was more kind of creepier.
Dude, this whole scene is so fucking creepy,
Yeah.
because he's walking through this forest and it's just like this sole road through this forest, and everything's so fucking dark,
Yeah.
and you can hear the hooves like dun, 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 and they just get closer and closer and closer, and it's just such a fucking creepy visual of this
Yeah.
horse-drawn carriage just barreling towards him.
Yeah.
And then it stops right in front of him, and like that whole scene where you get a side view of the carriage in the moonlight, and the
Yeah.
door just like slowly creeps open.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
I read in the trivia on IMDb too. So how they got it like so bright with the moonlight is they shot it all during the day, but then
Okay.
edited it to make it look like night in post-production. So
That's cool.
that's why like everything's so bright with
Yeah.
moonlight, because it's
Yeah.
actually sunlight with a filter over it.
Okay. Yeah, and the snow in that scene is also, I forget what he said. It's
Frozen
potato.
potato flakes.
Yes, that's what it was. Yeah. Yeah.
Apparently that's a very old way of filming snow, because they banned the another way that they used to do it back in the old days. They banned it because the
Well, it was like the Wizard of Oz, right? It was asbestos. Yeah.
So yeah, obviously they banned that.
And then we see him going up to the castle. We see Orlok's wolves chasing after the carriage. So we finally meet Orlok. Just unreal. Like, if you just showed that image and had him talk, you would never be able to like guess who the actor was. Like, you can't even tell at all.
And like even later on in the movie where we see Orlok in daylight,
Yeah.
because like every time we see him until the very end of the movie, it's very dark and shadowy. But like even in broad daylight, you cannot tell who that actor is beneath it. And he changed his voice so much.
Oh yeah, he did, yeah. And one thing that I appreciate about this is like all the actors in this movie weren't like guided by, well, they were somewhat guided by Eggers, but like for Nosferatu, he was sent, different variations of voices that he could do, and Skarsgård chose his own voice of what to do for Aaron Taylor Johnson for like his hair. Eggers sent him like 10 different like kind of styles or ideas, and then like Aaron chose which one he liked. So
That's cool.
like each actor like put the work in as well to do research and write. So And the funny thing is, Nicholas Holt is taller than Skarsgård.
Really?
Yeah.
Because Skarsgård's tall. He's like 6'4".
Yeah, so Holt is 6'6".
Holy shit.
Yeah,
I did
so
not
there's a
realize that.
couple in the one scene, whenever they're beside each other, Holt has to stand as far back as he can to make it look like he's shorter than
Okay.
Skarsgård.
Yeah, because he doesn't seem that tall. I know Skarsgård was wearing heels and stuff too, because in like mythology, Nosferatu, I think, was like 7 feet tall or something like that.
Yeah, and also I guess what was he saying? Like lords back in Transylvania, like back whenever he would have died or whatever, wore iron in their shoes, I
Okay.
guess. So like when they're walked up the stairs, it's like seems very loud. Like that's like the iron in Skarsgård's boots
Oh,
that are like
shit.
making it, yeah. And
Wow.
then like the hairstyle and the mustache is like accurate to like what a lord back then would have looked like.
Yeah.
But anyway, what did you think of this first interaction scene between Orlok and Skarsgård?
I love it, man. Like, Nicholas Holt plays this part so well. Like, I don't, he's not the weakest actor in the movie. I don't want to say that because he was phenomenal in his role, but I feel like the way he acted was slightly overshadowed by Lily Rose Depp and Skarsgård.
And even Aaron Taylor Johnson, in my opinion,
Yeah,
too.
yeah. But in this scene, you really see how good Nicholas Holt is. 'Cause he's terrified, man. Like, he walks in there and he's trying to run the show, and Orlok's like, "Nah, motherfucker, you're in my house and you're gonna do what I say." And Holt's like, "Oh, I don't want to sit." And he's like, "You will sit." And he's like,
Man, whenever Orlok like raises his voice,
"Yeah,
it is genuinely terrifying.
it is, yeah." And this is the first time we see Orlok and like really hear him speak. And Skarsgård does this like wheezing deep inhale, and he does it so fucking good, man. But yeah, this whole first meeting with them, it's really creepy, and it really shows how terrifying Orlok can be for not even doing anything, really. Like, he's just, I don't know, he's just like in his dining room.
Yeah, exactly. He's like reading over the fucking the whatever. And
Yeah.
then he gives Thomas some bread and he cuts himself. And then just goes to like Orlok and his eyes are wide as hell. And I forget what he says. I forget
You'll
what he
mind what
says.
you do or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. But then, yeah, we see him because Orlok is like very fast. Like, we don't see him like turn into bat or anything like that, but like
Yeah.
you'll hear it, right? And then at that point, whenever he says after he cuts himself, Orlok is like over on the other side of the hallway or whatever, and Thomas is looking at him. He just like that is like scared. Like, that's what scared looks like. By the way that Thomas acted.
Yeah, like his eyes are tearing up, and like he just has this look of just pure terror on his face.
So the scene I was clearly mentioned before, we cut back to Ellen quickly. She is asking Anna if she ever feels like the way she does. Ellen still doesn't really know what the hell's going on. The stuff seems to happen only at nighttime. Obviously, whenever Orlok is right. So Thomas wakes up. He is on the floor in front of the fireplace. He has a bite on his chest. So I guess a lot of like the folklore about vampires is some vampires bit on the chest where the heart is, and some, I guess, vampires didn't even like suck blood. They either just bit you or they raped you, I guess. Different like variations and kind of folklore about
Yeah.
vampires, not like the typical bite on your neck kind of thing. But we do see Orlok bite people's neck whenever he's fucking murdering little girl.
Yeah, but like, didn't the whole like vampire mythology, didn't it stemmed from Vlad the Impaler, right?
I think so.
And I think like with him, he would just stab them and then drink their blood. But so it obviously, I don't know, it's been kind of filtered through throughout the years.
So they're signing the deed now. Orlok gives him the money, and then he sees Thomas's pendant, takes it, and then no he can smell or taste Ellen's hair in it, and that's when he realizes that, oh, this guy's married to my fucking girl. And then Thomas is like, all right, we're all done here. Like, I got the money. And he's like, okay, I want to go. And then Orlok's, no, you can't travel while you're sick. It's like a bad omen or something like that. And then Orlok just like walks up this pendant, and Thomas is like, you sold my pendant there. So later on, we do see Thomas trying to find his way out. He can't get out. He ends up finding Orlok's coffin. And man, Orlok is so scary, man, honestly. So he finds the coffin, he opens it, and there's like maggots and rats fucking all over Skarsgård, which is disgusting. Fun fact before I may forget this, but all of the rats in this are trained.
What? Like in the whole movie or just in this scene?
So kind of similar, sounds very silly, but in 300, like the CGI, like the front row was like actors. So like later on in the movie, like when all the plague is happening and like the rats run off the ship, the rats in that were trained to run off the ship.
Holy fuck.
So like these are like trained rats.
That's fucking nuts.
Like the rats you see in the background, like are just like CGI rats, but like the rats like in the foreground, they're like real rats and like are trained to do stuff.
That's crazy. Wow. See what it, like the dedication, man. Like we need to train 50,000 rats.
And I guess like the rats, I forget what he says, but they're just like they are always pissing and shitting.
Of course.
So whenever Anna had the rats on her, they were just pissing and shitting all over her, I
Oh, that's
guess.
fucking disgusting.
But anyway, so he finds Orlok, and he pushes the top off it, and Orlok's just fucking naked, skinny as fuck. And he picks up this like pickaxe, and he's like going up, and you see the sun just slowly go down. You're like, oh fuck. And then hits him. Orlok just fucking grabs it out of the way, stands up. Fucking giant ass Dom just standing there. Just looks terrifying. And Thomas runs away.
Wolves are
And
chasing after him.
wolves are chasing him. And then he goes to his room. Oh, that's after. Sorry. I'll come back to that.
Yeah, because he's running away from the wolves, and then he goes out the window, and he's on this ledge.
That's later.
Is it? Because this is when he falls into the river.
No, because Orlok bites him again
You sure?
later on in the movie. At least that's what in my notes, whenever.
Because I thought this is whenever. Because he's getting chased by the wolves, and that's why he goes out on the ledge.
Hold on. Okay, yeah, you're right. So we see Ellen sleepwalking again. And that's whenever she has her spill and the doctor Seaver comes. Then it goes back to there. And Orlok is drinking his blood again. And I guess that they, on his bed, they put like a pulley system underneath them, and we're raising the two guys.
Oh, really?
But yeah, we see he yeah you're right, he falls out the window into the water. But I love like after he runs back to his room, and it's like 2 seconds later, like opens the door and Orlok's just standing like fully clothed, like with the wolves there, just fucking that's sick.
Crazy.
And then it cuts to again. Wait, no, hold on, I'm getting mixed up. Because we whenever he's drinking his blood, we do see that one part where he's back in front of the fireplace and Orlok is like completely naked, and you just see him like laying on top of Thomas, and like the camera's like looking at them both, and he's like, you just hear him like fucking, and his like body's like going up, and it's like fucking disgusting,
Yeah, it
man.
looks like he's just draining every last drop out of him.
So he falls. The doctor is looking at Alan. So Seaver's is a doctor kind of guy. Like the place where Canuck is, it's Seaver says it's like not a prison, it's like kind of like a hospital sort of thing.
Yeah, I think it's like the asylum in the hospital.
Right. That makes sense.
Because whenever he's talking to somebody, and they're just like, no, like we don't use that anymore. And he's like, well, I'm telling you, this guy's down there.
Oh, it's the guy who said it was a busker.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So they bring Canuck there. And we keep like going back and forth to where Ellen is like just like doing fucking weird, crazy shit. And I guess she got trained by someone to like do all that shit.
Yeah, it's like an ancient form of Chinese dancing. It might not be Chinese, but like Asian dancing of some sort. And she kind of used that as inspiration, is what I read
Which
anyways.
is crazy because like the scenes with Ellen, it's fucking crazy that she's like doing all that shit, right?
Yeah, 'cause like those are some pretty quick like body movements that she's doing.
Very, very. Because even like Eggers was like, yeah, this isn't CGI. This is like all Lily doing this
Yeah.
shit.
I read too that during her audition, she because it Skarsgård was originally supposed to be Thomas,
Really?
and then they recast him as Orlok.
That's the best decision they've ever made.
100%. And then someone else was supposed to be Ellen and Thomas, but they had scheduling conflicts. Oh, Anya Taylor-Joy was going to be Ellen.
Okay.
And Harry Styles was going to be Thomas.
Fuck.
Yeah, but they both had scheduling conflicts, so they both had to drop out. And anyway, so that's whenever Lily Rose Depp came in, and she had Eggers in tears during her audition. He said the way that she is in the movie, that's the way
Yeah.
that she was in during her audition.
Really.
Like just fucking A1.
Yeah. Because, like, Lily, like, I don't even know what else she's been in other than
Yoga
movie.
hosers.
Yeah, that's literally the only one that I know of, right? But anyway. So we learned that there is. Wait, where. You learn that Canuck was at the market. He killed three sheep and then was eating them. He keeps eating rats and pigeons. And then we see him in the prison cell and he has a pigeon he's holding up and he's like, camera's like out close to his face and he's fucking crazy, man. But I guess in this scene, it was a real pigeon that he had. And like, whenever he first bites down on it, like he's not like fully biting his head off yet, but when he bites it, that's still a real pigeon. And then when he like goes down, that's when they swap it out to like the fake. It was like a candy pigeon, and then that's fucking.
Holy
It's
shit.
gruesome though. It's like
Yeah.
so real looking.
It's like spurting out blood from its neck after he fucking bites the head off.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's like, oh, this one's pretty. He's like, Orlok really likes the pretty ones. And I was just
Yeah.
like, okay.
Yeah. Oh man.
Weird.
I do gotta say, like, I think I like the Nosferatu kind of version story better than the Dracula story.
Okay. I mean, they're both wildly similar, but
Oh, I know they're very similar, but
yeah. And it's crazy too because like the original like 1922 Nosferatu, it almost didn't get made
yeah.
because Bram Stoker's wife, after he died, she like ordered all copies of Nosferatu to be destroyed, and she was like trying to sue them for the likenesses of the characters and stuff like that, but not every copy got destroyed. So that's how we were able to get like Max Schreck's version. So we would have never had this movie if she would have been successful. But like what, so
I'll go ahead.
I want to circle back around to that. What do you like about this more than Dracula? Like what difference is it that changes it for you?
I think Dracula focuses way too much on Hutter and kind of his like family and like that.
Okay.
And like his journey to Dracula. Like I listened to the audiobook and I just watched Bram Stoker's Dracula from 92 or whatever. Still a fantastic movie, but it's kind of boring and like I don't know.
Even the book is written really weird, right? Because the book's written
Like
as
a
journal
diary.
diary entries. Yeah. So, I mean, it gets hard to, I don't know how you did it with audio. Well, I guess maybe that'd be easier because it's easier to get to two different points of view, right? But yeah, I can agree with that, I guess, because this you really do get the Nosferatu story plus like his connection to not only like his familiar with Knock, but also with his love interest with Ellen.
So quickly we do see that Thomas is saved by some nuns, I think, or something like that. He's brought back to their sanctuary. I don't think we meet Von Franz yet. We hear about him. He is a specialist of some kind. Sievers was his student at one point. And we get Orlok on the Demeter.
Yeah, we do.
Thoughts?
I liked it. I liked
Too,
this.
do you think too short or perfect amount for this movie?
No, I think it was a good amount. Because I mean, we just had the last Voyage of the Demeter, right?
Same, was it 2023?
I think it
Or
was
was that the same
2023.
year?
I don't think it was 24. I think it was 23. So I mean, like, I don't think we needed it to be any longer than what it was. Because I mean, if you've read the book, like Dracula, because this happens in Dracula too. So if you've read the book or if you watch that movie, then you know what it is, right? Like they're transporting him and he's fucking bringing the plague with him and he fucking wreaks havoc on this ship and.
The scene with Orlok in this is fucking scary. If I was that guy filming with that scene with Skarsgård, you'd have to pay me $1 million. It's filmed so well. So, like, obviously, the whole crew is dying. They're getting sick. I think there's a plague. And then they realize that there's some crate down below that may be causing the issues. So this guy goes down by himself. I don't know. He may be the last guy on the ship, honestly. Has like a little pickaxe, and it's dark as shit in here. Like you can't see shit, just like the light. And you see him walk by, and then just faintly in the background, you see Orlok, who's back in the corner, just like kind of turn around, and you're like, that's fucking crazy. And then the guy's like, is about to break it open, and just Orlok comes out of nowhere, bites the shit out of his fucking neck. And just rips his jugular out. It's so good, man.
Yeah, it's good.
Sievers and Harding are going to see not Harding, sorry. No, Harding,
Yeah, it's hurting.
is going to see Franz. I love William Dafoe, man.
Dude, like, fuck this guy. If he doesn't fucking end up in the Hollywood Hall of Fame, just every role that he does, and like we just did a movie with him with
I
Boondock
know.
Saints on
Can
Fury
you
Road.
so Letterboxd has released their 2025 year in review. Want to take a guess as to who was the most watched actor of 2025?
Was it him?
It was for the fourth time.
That's crazy. I mean, he has a lot of roles.
And I think Ralph Ineson was like number three or four, I think.
Really? Because like Willem Dafoe, he does have, like, he's probably up in like 150, 160.
Definitely more than that, I think.
You think so? But
Yeah.
like, and like prominent roles too, right? Like people are watching this still. And he's like, he's in The Northman, he's in The Lighthouse, he's in fucking the Spider-Man trilogy, like Tobey
I feel like
Maguire.
we've mentioned this before, but him not having an Oscar is like,
It might be worse than Leo.
yeah.
I think Leo's had bigger movies, but
160 previous
see? Fucking nailed
acting
it.
credits. Yeah. Anyway. So yeah, Von Franz is like this kind of like crazy old researcher guy, basically, who like knows about Orlok, and well, he knows a little bit of Orlok. He doesn't know how to kill him, but he knows about him. Thomas is leaving the nuns. He's heading back to Wisburg. what else? We talked about the Demeter. Knock ends up escaping, fucking rips the guy's fucking jugular out, just like Orlok did.
Yep.
And what does he say? The blood is life, or something like that.
Yeah, something.
Thomas makes it home. We see Kanaki's bringing Orlok to his new mansion. And like you said, we get this amazing shot of his hand going over the city. Ellen is staying at Anna's. Friedrich is gone. We get the first interaction physically between Orlok and Ellen.
Yeah.
I love their. There's a lot of really good, not I would say like monologues, but like scenes. I mean, it kind of is a monologue, I guess. But there's a few scenes where like actors, like one or two actors, are just like going on for like 5, 6 minutes of just straight, just engaging, like amazing dialogue.
Yeah, like this back and forth between Orlok and Alan is, it's phenomenal. And like we've already talked about how good Lily Rose Depp was in this movie, but in this scene, man, like she is just above and beyond. Because he's going on about how, like, well, what is it that he says? He said it from the beginning. She's above, or humankind's not for her, or something like that.
Yeah.
And she doesn't know love. And
Because she says to him, oh, you cannot love.
yeah.
And then she's kind of saying, like, why they shouldn't be married or something like that kind of thing. And then he just gets in his fucking angry like voice, and he's like, I give you 3 nights. And then if you don't basically be with me or get rid of, because she has to physically say, I don't want to be with Thomas or whatever, right? You just
Because
say something.
I was gonna say, because we learn in this scene too that he that Orlok tricked Thomas. Because whenever Thomas is signing the paperwork, he's trying to read what's on the letter. And Orlok's like, oh, it's a tradition in. So then Thomas just signs it. Turns out that is a binding agreement that be with Ellen anymore.
That's why he gave him the money, because he
So
bought, Thomas bought, or no,
Orlok.
Orlok bought his wife back.
Essentially, yeah, but Thomas didn't know that that's what he was signing.
Yeah.
So then Orlok tells Ellen this, and he's like, he says like he doesn't want to be with you. He's already signed it, all this shit. And then says to her, like, you need to be willing. And if you don't, then I'm gonna kill him.
Yeah.
But like they start to get like a lot closer, and he's just towering over her.
Yeah.
And they get like fucking nose to nose, and it looks like they're gonna kiss. And I was like, the first time I watched it, I was like, no way. And then she gets like right up, and her upper lip is like tossed there. And she's just like, I abhor you. And I was like, oh shit. But that's whenever he loses his mind.
So then that night we do see Anna is sick. She's being bitten by a bunch of rats. Friedrich wants them to leave. And one thing that I didn't do, Friedrich are talking. Amazing fucking scene between the two of them. Like, just great. All the dead plants in their house. which I would have never noticed, but I guess that was a decision that they made in the movie, which I think is a nice little touch, honestly. Yeah, so Friedrich wants them to leave. We see Friedrich talking with Sievers and Franz. He f kind of freaks the fuck out because they're talking about how it's a vampire, and he's like, "No, it's a fucking plague. Like, do you guys not fucking see this?" Like, he's kind of losing his mind. He's like laughing, and he's just lost it, right? His wife is sick as fuck, basically dying. And then we see Ellen. She tells Thomas about her secrets, about how whenever she was younger and lonely, she basically gave her life to Orlok, kind of without knowing she did, kind of, right? Like,
I don't think she understood the severity of it.
yeah. Then we get a scene. Ellen is like, I don't know, was she whenever they have this scene, do you think that she is herself, or do you think there's a part of like Orlok that's in her? Because like she's like, "Oh, you can never love me the way he does," or something, then just like have this like crazy sex.
Yeah, I 100% think that
Yeah.
because she just like she changes on a dime, right? And I think Orlok can kind of see through her a little bit, or like he can hear her thoughts or something, because her and Thomas are having like she's feeling like really down on herself because she's the one that brought Orlok here. And that's like she just turns on a dime. She goes from being like sad and like depressive to being like very angry towards Thomas. So I feel like she's like it's Orlok trying to drive him away. Cause like maybe Orlok thinks once Thomas is gone, that's whenever.
So we get the scene back at Friedrich's. Friedrich and Anna are laying in bed, and we hear his girl screaming. Honestly, the first time I watched this, I did not fucking expect this scene at all.
Crazy.
Because they're screaming their fucking heads off. Friedrich runs in, and you see Orlok in the dark with one girl up, fucking biting her neck. One little girl dead already. He just like throws the other girl down, and it's like, holy fuck.
Yeah. It's not Friedrich that runs in, it's Anna
Is it Anna? Okay.
because they're both sleeping
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
and you
Yes.
can hear Orlok and he can see his shadow again go over Friedrich's face, and he goes, and then he stays asleep during this whole thing.
Yeah, because
And there's,
Anna dies as well, right?
yeah. And there's a really, I don't want to say cool scene, but there's a really like heartfelt scene after all of this. Whenever Friedrich goes into they put the coffins,
Mausoleum.
yeah, mausoleum. He goes in there and he puts his hand on each of the caskets and he goes, "Oh, my girls." And he says, "I'll never sleep again." And he blames himself because he did this whole thing.
Yeah, I think during this funeral scene, like I think Aaron Taylor Johnson is like a very underrated actor. And I think like this movie and Bullet Train, like I think kind of didn't put him in the map, but I think kind of like boosted him up a little like tier.
Vastly different movies, but
Oh, I know, but
yeah.
we loved him in Bullet Train,
Oh,
right?
yeah,
So
I agree.
but I guess so the caskets for like the girls, I guess Eggers couldn't get, I forget what kind of wood it is, but it's like a very light wood. So they couldn't get the wood they wanted to, so they'd use like some real wood. And I guess that the caskets were really fucking heavy.
They were huge, man.
And like I guess like the extras like were trying hard to make it look like they weren't heavy.
Okay.
But I guess like they were like really, really fucking heavy caskets.
Huh. Like they were the length of like little, because they were little girls, right? They were, the length of them was small, but like they were fucking thick.
Yeah, they were tall, yeah. So we find out that they're going to use Ellen to get to Orlok.
Yeah,
Well,
because don't we find out?
Van Franz is, I think.
Yeah.
Because Thomas and Sievers think that they're going to kill Orlok.
Yeah, because the way that they have to kill him is to have him go to the place where he was buried and make him stay there until the first cock crows.
Yes.
So until the sun comes up. And that's how
No.
you. What?
Not in this movie.
That's not what it means?
Nope.
Okay.
Because Eggers explained it.
Okay.
And I mean, we're kind of jumping ahead, but anyway. Literally, the first cock crows, the first crow of like the rooster or the crow saying that it's the next day is what starts a process. So it's not the actual sun that does it. It's literally the first crow of the morning.
Okay.
So I guess that's a part of like other folklore and stuff of
So it
vampires.
doesn't have anything to do with the sun. It has to be.
Nope. Has to be the first crow in the morning is what signals like the next day.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what happens if the rooster doesn't crow? Does the next day just not come?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Anyway, so we see Sievers and Van Frons and Thomas making their way to Orlok's place. They get in there. It's full of rats. And at this point, Thomas is like to Van Frons, "Oh, you don't know how to fucking kill Orlok." And he's like, "No, I don't, honestly."
Yeah.
So they move the coffin and fucking Kanak is in there,
Oh,
and they end up stabbing him. And they burn the place down, and then this is whenever Van Frons says like the first cock crow. So
he
yeah.
stays in there with the building while it's down.
Yeah, it does, yeah. So we see Orlok is with Ellen. They are together again. They end up, well, they take all their clothes off basically, and then he ends up biting her again. And so she's dying. We see the sun coming up. He like stops. He sees the sun come up and he doesn't like move right away. And then Ellen says more, and then you hear the cock crow, and then that's whenever he gets up again and he fucking is looking at the sun, his eyes go all white, and then just fucking throws up a shit ton of blood. His fucking eyes are bleeding, and fucking amazing scene, man.
yeah, it's a really like scary looking scene too.
Yeah, because he's like fucking screaming. I guess that they had to like shoot this scene a ton of times, obviously.
Yeah.
And I guess like Skarsgård's throat was like dying at the end of it. Yeah.
Who is all in the commentary? Obviously Eggers.
That's it.
It was just Eggers.
Yeah.
Oh wow, okay. Because normally there's like two or
Yeah, it's just Eggers.
okay.
But yeah, so she ends up keeping him there. He dies. We see Thomas run in with Sievers and Ellen dies, and then we see all these people come in and drop flowers onto Ellen and Orlok. Orlok is a fucking shriveled up
Yeah.
fucking thing now, and that's how it ends. Anything else?
I don't think so. Like, yeah, the whole ending, it's just Thomas is holding her hand, she cry or he's crying. Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't end like it ends abruptly, but it's a fitting ending.
Yeah.
'Cause like we don't need to know what happens to Thomas afterwards. Like
No.
we don't need to know anything else. So I think they ended it properly.
Yeah. Cool. Well, that's the way the blood splatters.
All right. How did you rate this one?
So previously I gave it a 4.5 when I first watched it last year, but now it's a 5.
Yeah.
Just unreal movie. Just so much passion and the acting. I mean, there's honestly no bad thing to say. The cinematography, and like, there's actually a shit ton of CGI in this that I would have never known if Eggers didn't say it.
Yeah.
Honestly, like buildings and stuff like that. Like,
They do it so tastefully, though.
he does, exactly, right? It looks all real. But anyway, like the acting's phenomenal, the writing, the score. Honestly, nothing bad to say about this movie. I think we've had this conversation multiple times, but I think Ayers is gonna go down as one of the greats. Like, just his kind of, because we have Werewolf coming out, and I'm interested to see if he continues his, what's like the name of his kind of style, like historic, dark, movies, right? Like, where does he go after Werewolf? Because we know that that's taking place in the 1800s or whatever, right? Where does he go from here?
He's a master of historical pieces, right? And like there's enough history and mythology that I think he can make a very long career out of what he does. But yeah, I was going to say the same thing. Like, I really hope that Hollywood allows him movies the way that he does, because it doesn't seem like Hollywood has a huge influence on him, but his movies are at that caliber, right?
So he is 43 years old. I just want to compare him. I don't know, this may be a hot take. I could see him being this generation's PTA, Paul Thomas Anderson. PTA has made not a lot of movies, I think under 20 maybe, but every movie that he has made has basically been, if not a masterpiece, like one of the best movies ever made. Like, I could see Eggers being kind of that generational talent.
Yeah, that nails it right there. He's a generational talent. I can't see any director currently surpassing what he, besides like Nolan, but Eggers feels more like independent than Nolan.
For sure. Yeah.
Like, I feel like he, Nolan has like huge movies and like big, massive budget movies, whereas I feel like Eggers can just tell a fucking story.
Yeah. And like the latest, after Zach Cregger and Ari Aster, everyone's like, oh, is it Peele, Aster, Cregger, or Eggers? I don't think it's a question anymore. Like, Peele isn't putting out that many, that much,
He's got what,
right?
three movies now? He's got
Three
Nope, Us,
movies.
and
His last one was 2022, right?
that's crazy. He's
Cregger's
due.
just getting started, obviously. Like, I'm insanely excited for Resident Evil this year.
Yeah.
And Aster is kind of, he's divided, right?
Yeah. It's funny you bring up Craigor and Resident Evil, because our Discord channel actually popped off for a little bit tonight with people
Oh, did
talking
it?
about that. I was just like, what the fuck is happening right now? Because nobody
Yeah.
talks in our Discord ever. But yeah, we were talking about that a little bit, and I'm really excited for it too. And I think Craigor is fucking awesome. Like, I love Weapons. I love Barbarian. Man, Barbarian's like one of my favorite movies. And yeah, I'm super excited for Resident Evil, but he kind of does like fun horror, right? He almost does a thing where it's just like, how can I push the envelope here? How can I put this like just over that like wacky kind of feel? Whereas Eggers is just like, I'm gonna research the fuck out of this mythology and make an awesome movie.
Anyway, what do you think of the movie?
I'm the exact same as you. On my first watch, I give it a 4.5, and on this one, I give it a 5. Because, like, as I was writing it up, I was just like, what don't I like about this movie? Why do I give this a 4.5? Like, where is the 0.5 coming? It doesn't make any fucking sense. It's just like, there's nothing about this movie that I didn't like. It's 2 hours and 16 minutes if you're watching the director's cut. It's not overly long. It doesn't overstay its welcome. It's shot so fucking beautifully. The scenery in this movie and the way that it's shot and edited is above and beyond what it, and the way that it's acted and the score and the set design and the costume design and just everything is so good. I mean, there's no reason for me personally and for you I know some people don't enjoy it that much, but yeah, five for me as well. All right, you guys know our scores. We'll head on over to Rotten Tomatoes. So this one is new enough that there is a critics consensus and an audience can obviously
Okay.
start with the critics. Marvelously orchestrated by director Robert Eggers, Nosferatu is a behemoth of a horror film that is equal parts repulsive and based on that, what do you think?
Say like 94.
I wish 85%.
Oh wow, I was way off.
That's on 381 reviews.
Okay.
The audience consent. What Nosferatu lacks in scares, it makes up for in an atmosphere that's intensified by a spellbound and spellbinding lily. The audience score is a 69%.
Excuse me?
Yeah, that was my reaction too. That's on 10,000 ratings and an average score of 3.7 out of 5, or a 7.5. And if I recall, Letterboxd isn't far.
Is the exact same.
Yeah.
Yeah. 3.7. I mean, my friend's list is a 4.0, so,
People love it.
yeah. Our buddy Alan gave it a 3.5.
I gotta slap him.
Yeah. Jensen gave it a 4.5. Scream Cinema gave it a 5. Wow, okay. Our buddy Nathan gave it a 2.5. Erica gave it a 3.
Erica gave it a 3.
Yeah.
All right.
Slashing Captain 3.5.
What did Anthony give it?
5.
Okay.
The Cinemonster 3. That's pretty much it.
I have to message Erica after and be like, what the fuck? All right. Ready for the scare section?
Yes, sir.
Right. How'd you rate the scares in this movie?
I'll give the scares a 7 out of 10. Never forget the first time I watched this. I had Theo in the basement with me.
Oh, I remember you telling me about this.
I don't know why I thought it was a good idea. I mean, he was still like obviously probably like
He was young.
7 months maybe. And I threw it on and like I didn't expect the fucking first 5 minutes of jump scare. It scared the fuck out of me too. But there really is only that one jump scare in the movie. But I just think like the atmosphere and like the performances, I think just and obviously Skarsgård's performance just make it that much scarier for me. So yeah, I go 7 out of 10. Scariest scene. I'm not gonna pick the jump scare because it didn't really get me like the second time, but the first time definitely did. I'm gonna go with the first interaction between Thomas and Orlok. Just
Okay.
like, just you're intimidated by Orlok, right? And especially the scene whenever Thomas first gets taken by Orlok, just like the like inaudible scream that like and the look on Thomas's face when you don't see what he sees. Right? Like, what is he looking at? We don't know. We just see Orlok stand over there. Then it comes to Thomas and he has this insane look on his face. Like, what did Orlok do? Right? So, yeah, I'll go with that interaction. And would I survive? I'm gonna say no, because I don't think I'd survive even if there was no vampire. I don't think I'd survive in like the 1800s, honestly.
Okay, that's
Yeah,
fair. The plague's getting you, eh?
exactly. It's getting all of us, to be honest,
Yeah,
if we were
that's
there.
true.
So, yeah. What about you?
I said for the scares, I gave it a 6. I said there was some perfectly timed jump scares. I disagree with you. I think there was more jump scares than just that.
Okay.
I think there's a few throughout the movie. And I think that they were all done really tastefully, perfect time. And not like, I don't think it was necessarily cheap jump scares, because how we talked about whenever we were said like how fast Orlok can be, where he can be where you don't expect him to be.
Yeah.
So kind of, I don't know, it was timed properly. Plus like the atmosphere and Orlok. Scariest scene, I said when Thomas attempts to kill Orlok in his coffin. that jump scare
Yeah.
got me, and then like the wolf chase afterwards, because like I hate that feeling of being chased, man. And it's
Yeah.
just like, oh my God, like fucking run.
Yeah.
And would I survive? No. Like, how do you survive an ancient vampire if he really wants to kill you, man?
Thomas survived.
Yeah, but only because of Alan.
And the nuns.
Yeah,
Because
I
they cured him,
guess.
right?
Yeah. But I like, if Alan wanted to like be like, fuck you, I'm not gonna
That's true.
love you,
Yeah.
like Thomas would have been dead. He was a victim to her trickery. All right. This episode's gone on for a while.
It
It's your pick.
is.
And I'm
It
excited to
is.
hear it because you kind of, I don't know, you didn't give me a hint, but you were.
Kind of did. So technically this is a foreign film. I had no idea. So I think I remember this is one of your favorite movies, at least from back when we first started
Okay.
the podcast. So we'll be talking about 2018's Ghostland,
Oh, shit. All right.
or as many people call it, Incident in a Ghostland.
All right.
Yeah.
I never expected you to be
I know. I know.
because you weren't a fan of it on the.
No, I mean, it's been a very long time since I've seen it,
Yeah.
but
Fuck. Okay. Nice.
yeah.
I'm excited because, yeah, I, spoiler alert, I fucking love that movie.
Yeah.
Not at all where I thought you were gonna go. I'm
All right.
happy about that though.
Fair enough. I told you you'd be happy.
Yeah, sweet. Ah, yeah, I'm pumped. I watched it a couple times before we recorded
There we go.
it.
I buy the 4K and the Blu-ray and
Yeah, I'll
the
fucking buy them
DV.
all.
Yeah.
Watch it all. All right. Well, that wraps up our first episode of 2026. If you guys want to catch us on social media, you can find us at a podcast on Elmstream YouTube. And if you click the link in our bio, you'll find links to our Patreon account. Nope, that's not right. How do I say it first? Anyways, Patreon account, Discord server, fucking, I drank this whole
Linktree.
bottle of
Yeah.
wine, man.
Oh wow, okay.
Yeah, I'm a little just click the link in our bio on it. And like I said previously, our Discord is kind of popping off for a little bit, so it'd be cool if that could gain some leverage.
Might have to pop in there then myself.
Yeah. It was a good little conversation. And it was actually Sir Harbinger that kind of kickstarted it, so kudos to
Okay,
him.
nice.
Our boy.
Boy.
All
Cool.
right.
All right, guys. Talk in a couple of weeks.
Bye.